Thank you very much for joining us on our podcast. This is the interview that we did with Tom Allen, the Indiana University football coach. He is having a very successful year as we broadcast this. He is the head coach. He became the head coach in 2016 when the Hoosiers fired Kevin Wilson, who had been the head coach. And Tom Allen took over at the end of the regular season. They still had a bowl game to play. And Allen was able to take the team to the bowl game. They did not win. They played the University of Utah out in California. They played them at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, where the San Francisco 49ers play. And after that, they made Tom the full-time head coach. That was beginning in 2017, and since then he has seen the Hoosiers come to a place in national prominence that they have not had in many, many years. Now, we did this interview with Tom back in 2017, and this was before he had a lot of success. This was kind of before he had burst onto the national scene. But one of the things that I really enjoy about this is the fact that he was able to talk about his faith and able to share with what Jesus Christ means to him. He's unique. He's unique in the fact that he loves his players, and that doesn't mean that every coach doesn't love their players, but a lot of coaches see wins and losses, and that's all they see. Tom sees that for sure, but he sees it in a way in which he can relate to his players. In fact, in the locker room, you'll see a sign all over the place that says, "Leo, love everyone." That's Tom Allen's motto, and he certainly is doing a tremendous job. He loves his players. They love him, and I know that you will enjoy this interview that we had with Tom Allen back in 2017. So here it is. Enjoy it, and thanks for being with us today. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Tom Allen, the new head coach, head football coach at Indiana University. Tom, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
You're welcome. Excited to be here.
You were thrown right into this position. You'd never been a head coach at a major college, and all of a sudden you get 3 weeks to prepare, and you're on your way to a bowl game. Tell me about the transition. What was that like?
Well, it was pretty fast and furious in the beginning. A lot of decisions to be made pretty quickly, and it was a not an easy time for sure, but it happened so fast, and we had so much to do right away with the bowl game that you just kind of roll your sleeves up and go to work. You don't have much time to kind of think, you just react.
And one of the things, of course, that was really good was you knew your players very, very well. I know you were the defensive coordinator, but of course you did you have to learn the offense real quick, or did you just kind of keep going the way you were going and just kind of turn that over to your offensive leaders?
We did. You know, I did not get involved offensively. We pretty much practiced the same way. I did not coach a position on defense, so really that structure didn't change at all. And then Kevin Johns stayed on as the OC and just called it throughout the bowl season and all those practices. So it was pretty smooth.
Anytime you get an opening in a position like this, a Big Ten school, there's usually a lot of candidates that come in. There's usually a lot of tension as to who's going to be the next coach. IU just quickly gave you the position, not even as an interim. They named you the head coach. That had to really give you a lot of confidence that the school was behind you.
It did, you know, and they didn't really waver or flinch on that. And you know, we basically embraced that from the beginning, and we're very appreciative of their confidence and just wanted to do a great job for the university and for our whole state.
Tell me, you're a Hoosier native. Mm-hmm. You have been all over the country. You've been in a number of different schools, a number of different places. What does it mean as a Hoosier to be the head coach of the Indiana University football program?
You know, it means a lot. It really does. And just my history in this state and my dad being a longtime high school coach and being born and raised here just has a lot of state pride, you know, and I've always been a big fan of the Hoosiers and what Coach Mallory when I was younger and what he did here and then the different coaches along the way and a huge fan of Coach Hep. My dad and he were close friends and Coach Lynch was another guy I knew extremely well. And so just have kind of always been connected with the program in a lot of different ways, but to be able to represent all those in the past, and Coach Corso included, and just to be able to represent our entire state and be able to be in this role is a tremendous blessing and honor all at the same time.
Let's go back a little bit, back to your high school days, back to you grew up in Newcastle, is that right?
That's correct.
Tell me about what memories you have about high school football in Newcastle.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, my hero was Mike Kovaleski. You know, he played for my dad and Coach Surface and went on to Notre Dame, be a four-year starter at middle linebacker. He was a high school All-American. And so wore his number when I in getting up in high school, and he was 34, and that's what I wore because of him. And so it was interesting when he was a great player, obviously tailback, linebacker. He also kicked field goals and extra points. And so I kept his shoe. He had one of those block shoes that he wore and always had to switch the shoe out. So I was the kid that ran out there and took his shoe to him. You know, he would change it out on the field and he'd go kick a field goal or kick an extra point. So, but then had a chance to play for my dad, you know, which is always a special time and a lot of great memories. And he's an awesome person and my number one fan.
Over the last 20 years, you've hit about every rung on the ladder, starting out as a high school coach down in Florida, moving up to a number of different schools at different levels, and then getting to this position. Does the coaching philosophy change from working with high school kids and working with non-scholarship kids and then here? Does your coaching philosophy change any?
No, I don't think so. I think how you build a team, how you motivate, how you lead, the things that you feel are foundational to that, doesn't change at all. You know, they're just bigger, faster, stronger, and there's more people in the stands.
How about the type of kid that you work with? Of course, when you're here, you're working with kids that have pretty well been at the top level all the way along. And when you're at a high school, as you were down in Florida, mm-hmm. you get kids that are just kind of coming along. So I know that you say they're just a little bit bigger, faster, stronger, but do you sometimes look back and think about the times that you had high school kids and some of the things that you had to teach them that you don't teach now?
Well, as far as how you teach it, I think that's the part that's consistent. Your leadership style, the way you relate to them, the way you motivate them, I think those are consistent things. But you know, what they bring to the table, you know, I think it affects, you know, I've even coached at different types of high schools, and for some have better athletes and lesser athletes, and you really have to learn to adapt your scheme to what your kids can do in high school because you can't go out and recruit them, you know. So I think it in some ways helps you become a better coach because you have to be very flexible, very versatile, you just can't say, hey, this is our system, we're going to run it regardless. You know, you're going to match your system with what your players can do, and you have to make change every single year. So then when you get them to college, you can recruit down to that system that you have. And so I think that getting them to play hard and getting them to maximize everything God's given them, that doesn't change, you know. And so I think that but you learn how to do that in a lot of different ways because you get kids with all different motives for why they play the game in high school. And in college, it's a little more focused, a little more driven group of guys that are kind of coming for a similar reason. And I think that – but to me, I just haven't noticed a major difference from whether I'm coaching at Temple Heights – in Tampa, Florida, which is a 2A high school, to Ben Davis, to Lambeth, to Arkansas State, to Indiana, Ole Miss. I think that coaching kids is coaching kids.
Yeah, recruiting is a big part, of course. It's a huge part. How about the recruiting? Do you enjoy the recruiting part of getting out on the road, or is that just kind of go with the territory?
You know, I think that I definitely enjoy it, but I think there's parts of it that everybody gets a little weary of at times. What I love is I do love going out and being in the schools. I love seeing all the coaches, and I think part of that's just being raised in the school. My dad being a part of the high school. Just I enjoy that environment. I enjoy watching high school games. You know, I think social media part of it, I think every coach would tell you it gets a little bit, you know, too much, you know, at times. I'm sure the recruits probably feel the same way, you know, because we're always pestering them too. But I really enjoy the relationships, getting to know the families, getting to know the players, and just sharing. And when you believe so strongly and what you're building and the way you're building it, sharing that vision of that is exciting to me.
I know that you're, of course, an Indiana native, mm-hmm. Indiana football. How about what the relationship with the coaches here? That's got to be really important to get around, mm-hmm. and particularly since you were the head coach at Ben Davis and you know all the coaches here, that kind of must give you somewhat of an advantage as you're here.
It sure can, you know, because it's about relationships, you know, and about anything in life, and especially recruiting. And so knowing the head coach well, oftentimes know you know, family members of a certain recruit, you know, maybe know his parents, you know. And so just those relationships are very, very helpful. And being a 10-year high school coach in Indiana and even beyond that with my dad's connections and people he knows, too, is a real positive thing, and I think it helps us in recruiting.
Defense is your key. You're a defensive specialist here. I think you've got something, schools that you've been at, I've seen something like a winning percentage of 76%. Indiana had a couple of rough years before you came defensively. I think they were something like 120th in the nation. You took them to 35th. What's your secret? What's your secret defensively?
Well, I think, you know, I've learned to keep it simple, get the kids to believe, and get the kids to play their tails off for each other. And to me, you can't oversimplify it. You know, there's not usually just one thing. But I think a big part of it is the relationships that we build, you know, as a coach, as a staff, defensively, and making sure they know that it's way more about them as a person than them as a player, and that we value them way beyond the game of football. And if their value is just all about football, I think it affects the way they respond to you. It's almost like you're just using them for some, you know, means to an end, whereas when they really believe that you care about them way more as a person than as a player, I think it affects the way they respond to you. And I think that's kind of been a consistent theme, you know, of the places we've been where we've had a chance to improve some teams and get a positive result on Saturday.
Tom, I know that Jesus Christ is primary in your life. How does that manifest itself in your coaching?
Well, I think that and even when Coach Wilson hired me, we talked about my faith and how that it would be woven into everything that I do. I said I believe in leading through biblical principles, and everything that I do foundationally is really found in Scripture. And I think coaching from the heart to the heart is that key component, and being able to relate to our players from a spiritual perspective. And, you know, I don't force it on them, you know, but I'm very open about what I believe, and I challenge them, what do you believe, you know? And you got to learn to have a life that's filled with conviction. You know, what do you believe in? What are you willing to die for? What are you living for? And I think there's just an innate desire to want to know that, you know? And so I really, from a one-on-one perspective, you know, I try to dive into their lives and help them, you know, become the kind of man I believe God's created him to be. And so, to me, that's foundational for me to build that relationship. You know, I take prayer requests from our guys consistently and praying for them, and that gets a personal level of their family, and guys feel free to share those, and they don't have to, you know, but they often choose to, and they appreciate caring about them beyond the field, you know. And so to me, that relationship that I have with Christ and how I want to be able to live for him and be an example for him to our players is important to me.
And do you see changes? Do you see kids affected by that fact, not just from what you teach them on the football field, but what you see off the field? Do you see some changes as a result of that?
You do, because, you know, life's about choices, you know, and I tell our guys that all the time. You know, we're responsible for those consequences that are created because of those choices, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. And so we're trying to do everything we can to help them make quality decisions in life. And to me, when you have a chance to, if they allow us to be able to help them make decisions with Scripture and the truth of Scripture in mind, it will help them make better decisions, I believe, and it'll also allow them to make decisions that are going to have an eternal value, which at the end of the day is what's most important to me.
Tell me how Jesus Christ came to be a part, not a part, the, mm-hmm. the complete part of your life.
When I was a boy, my parents raised us going to church, but that isn't the final piece. You know, to me, it has to be a personal relationship with Jesus. And so when I was 8 years old, you know, through the influence of my mom, she helped guide me to Christ and be able to teach me that it was about accepting him as personal Lord and Savior and asking him to forgive me for my sins and living my life for him. And so at a young age, I was able to do that. And our church that we were going to at the time, we as a whole family, end up going together and getting baptized as a family and believer's baptism and then be able to live a life that honored him, you know. And I was blessed to have two parents that loved the Lord and just raised us in a way that they taught us how to follow him and put him first in our lives, and that's what we've tried to do.
I think you came out of Maranatha Baptist in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine there's a lot of Big Ten coaches that maybe even could find Maranatha Baptist.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about how you ended up at Maranatha Baptist College in Wisconsin.
Yeah, interesting story. My brother He kind of felt called to go there. You know, he's going to study to be a preacher, and they had a football team there, and also had a wrestling program that was led by Ben Peterson, who was Olympic gold and silver medalist and a strong man of faith, but also a high level wrestling coach, and also Terry Price was the head football coach, and so had a chance to go there and played, you know, small college football and wrestle, but at the same time be around men that I thought were going to be able to influence me in a positive way to help shape me and mold me into what I felt like God was calling me to do, which was to serve him, no matter whether it was in business or in education or whatever. At the time, I didn't really know when I first went there. But the school actually came through, and like I said, my brother was going there. And once he went there to play, then I would go visit. And it just kind of, the more I would go there to visit, the more I just felt drawn there. And just the people was what really drew me there. Just a genuine concern for developing you, you know, as a man and to serve. And that's really what I was drawn to at Maranatha.
It's kind of ironic. Ben Peterson and his brother actually have both been on face-to-face in recent years.
How about that?
As talking about their testimony, mm-hmm. their strong Christian testimony, the camp they run up there.
That's right. I worked that camp when I was arresting for him.
Really?
I did, yeah.
That's amazing. That's the real irony there. Hmm. You've moved around a lot over the last 20 years. The challenges of being a football coach and having a family and trying to raise a family in different cities and all the different places. How has God led you in that, in taking care of that? There's got to be a lot of stress on your family and all that moving around.
There is. The moves are hard, you know, and I'll never diminish, you know, that fact, you know. But I will say this, you know, we as a family really felt God calling us into this portion of our lives to pursue the dream that God put in my heart to be a, you know, Division I, you know, head coach maybe one day, or defensive coordinator was my initial goal in the Big Ten. And so, you know, my wife made the comment once after we've done it for a few years that, hey, my dream had become their dream. You know, and they just embraced it. And we saw, and she saw, and our kids saw the impact. You know, I was fortunate to be with, you know, several head coaches in college that were strong believers and really had a big ministry focus of being a testimony to our players and having them make spiritual decisions and helping see them grow and disciple them. And so that was, you know, it made those moves. You can see God's hand in those moves and then opening and closing doors and opportunities that were created with those moves. And you never know where it's going to end up. You know, I never dreamed I'd be at Ole Miss, you know, never really had much connection with the SEC from being in the Midwest. But the opportunity to go there was a tremendous opportunity and be with that staff there and then go to South Florida and then come back home to Indiana, you know. So we kind of came full circle, you know, throughout, you know, seven states in 10 years has been our last 10-year journey. So it's been a pretty amazing path.
And I know that you've been influenced by a number of coaches, Hugh Freeze, a Christian man down at Ole Miss. And is there anybody that particularly that stands out in your years that has had a tremendous influence on you, not just in football, but spiritually?
You know, Chris Creighton would be the first one. He hired me at Wabash College, and he's now the head coach at Eastern Michigan and a strong believer. Matter of fact, we got one of our coaches right now up there with him talking about his leadership program that he's installed in his program there. That's going to be something we want to utilize, and just has a great testimony and a great passion for service in that area. And then you know, you mentioned Hugh Freeze, the guy that I really connected with when I was at Ben Davis and he was at Ole Miss, and he came through to recruit and through our connection with Fellowship Christian Athletes, and we worked summer camps together, and just to be able to work with him and his passion for impacting young men for Christ was impressive. You know, I just really the ministry focus that he had with his team was what I wanted, and that's what we've tried to model that at different places.
What challenges specifically do you face here at Indiana University that, for instance, I and my listeners can pray for?
You know, I just think, you know, more than anything is, you know, we're trying to change the hearts of our players. You know, we have a threefold prayer that I've been praying for our guys. And, you know, we talk about breakthrough here, but we're also talking about breaking through spiritually, you know, to be able to change the hearts of these kids and how they live their lives, you know, and to help them make, like you talk about, make good decisions and live a life that honors the Lord, you know, and how they do what they do. And so the wisdom to do that, you know, we're in the process of, you know, being able to find a chaplain to be able to fulfill, help us with that role, which is huge. So prayer for that is big. And then just the wisdom to be able to help these guys, you know, through life. You know, there's no question here at Indiana, they got a lot of, you know, issues that they got to, you know, deal with off campus, on campus, you know, choices, you know, things that they positions they put themselves in or not put themselves in. And I just think the wisdom for us to be able to guide them through life and help them through the issues that are going on at home, you know, they can often be negative. Sometimes they're positive, but oftentimes they're not. And so I just think that to be able to be a light for them and a guide for them to show them that what's really important in life is what I want to be able to do.
Coach Tom Allen, thanks for spending time with us. We're out of time here, but just to wrap it up, do you have a favorite verse? I'm sure you've got a number of verses in your mind, but do you have one that stands out?
Yeah, Matthew 6:33 is one that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And to me, it's about putting him first in our lives and allowing him to basically take care of the rest. And we're going to trust him. We're going to honor him. We're going to do everything we can to put him first.
Coach, good luck to you at Indiana, and good luck to you as you influence so many different lives here, both as far as players go and as far as the community that you're in. Thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed our time with Tom Allen. You know, he's so enthusiastic on the sidelines. One of the things that he does is when his players do a good job, he loves to come up and hug them, and sometimes he has to pay a penalty for that because, well, when they beat Michigan for the first time in, I think, 27 years, he hugged the linebacker that got an interception, and when he went down with him, the helmet caught Tom's cheek and cut it open. And that's not the first time he's been hurt. He's had a black eye in years past. He also had two teeth knocked out one time when he hugged a ball player and hugged him face to face, and the ball player still had his helmet on, and the nose guard or the face guard caught Tom right in the mouth and knocked out a couple of his two front teeth. So he's an enthusiastic guy. I think he's going to stay around for a while. And certainly I hope you enjoyed our time with Tom. What a record he has had. He went from Maranatha Baptist, started his coaching career with a couple of high schools down in Florida, then went to Wabash College in Indiana, Lambeth, Drake, which is out in Des Moines, Arkansas State, then moved up to the big time, got to the SEC with Ole Miss, with South Florida, and finally at Indiana. Not all of those were head coaching positions, but he has moved around quite a bit, as you have heard. Well, one of the things that we like to do with Face to Face is we like to leave you with a verse that we hope will encourage you. And during this time of the pandemic, Romans 8:38, 39 means a lot. It says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hope you are not discouraged. Hope you are encouraged by what you heard from Tom Allen. Hope you are encouraged by the fact that God is ever faithful, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will take us through this tough time that we are in. Well, as we always say as we leave our podcasts, remember this: no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Thank all of you. Thank you for being a part of today's podcast.